This is Ham Radio, fighting the war against the purification of America. Because who needs that shit? Totally Tasteless Tuesdays. Why? Because we can. Follow us, but not too close, on Twitter. Twitter.com/Ham Radio Show.
Ham Radio.
Tastes so good, make you want to slap your mama. Don't it, Willie?
Yeah, boy.
Hey, mama.
What the hell you want with...
Uncle Eddie.
Because you're the host of this show, you have total control over what happens on your show. If you don't, then you suck at your job. Then you suck at your fucking job.
Oh, yeah, I know all about the FCC.
Billy McNamee.
Thank you, bitch! Get up and lick this motherfucker's ball open. Make him lick his own shit off your huge fucking cock.
What's your language, you bud? We're on the air.
Ham Radio. Professional radio without the rules.
Listen, I'm here to get my money back for that ham radio.
Battery boy.
You are a scumbag. You are a scumbag.
I did tell him to stop.
We'll do it. Fuck it.
Professional radio without the rules.
I got it.
Ham radio.
Make that clit big and hard.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so fat for you.
Woo!
Oh,
Yes.
Ham Radio, the most dangerous radio today. Ham Radio.
You didn't say any of that. You're a liar.
Oh my god, we need to play this fucking tape back. I did
scumbag.
Fighting the war against the purification of America. Because who needs that shit?
You heard that, boy! Here's your target for tonight!
And now,
now that you opened up the demon in me! Attention, Kmart shoppers, for the time being on the Ham Radio Show, it will only be me and Joe.
It's the Joe Show.
It's the me and Joe Show, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Ham Radio Show. Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay.
718-577-1389. We are live on HamRadioShow.com, part of the Unfiltered Radio Network. WHAM is live for your broadcasting day. Also, we are live on the Facebook Live. Right there, the ham cam is ready to go and ready, willing, and able to take your phone calls. Like I said, 718-577-1389. What's incredibly funny is that right before we go to air, I get a text message from Billy. He ain't coming. I get a text. We know that Danny's on sabbatical or whatever that is.
And so, I'm going out to lunch.
And Joe's going to leave.
Yeah.
So basically, it is the Uncle Eddie show today with Joe. I hope you join us, and I hope you enjoy the ride, bitches, because we're on one. If you look at the ham cam, you can see that I have two keyboards in front of me. I have three computers going simultaneously.
I'm telling you.
I feel like a big-time radio DJ because I have to do everything myself.
You got to do all your own research.
I have to do all my research. I have to do everything myself. There will probably be no sound effects. There you go. We got phone calls already that are popping in from time to time.
It's probably Billy.
Yeah, it's the Ham Radio Show. Who's this?
Yo, it's Baloney Tits.
Hey, Baloney Tits. How are you today, Baloney Tits?
I'm not bad.
What are you up to, Baloney Tits?
I'm sitting here watching I'm watching the new season of Better Call Saul. I don't know if you like that show.
Oh, I love that show, man.
Nice.
Yeah, they just came out with season four, and I forgot I was two episodes behind.
Well, yeah, I just thought of it.
All right, so wait, Baloney Tits, let me ask a question. Quick question. Mm-hmm. Because he's not...
Hey, and Uncle Eddie, you know, I got this number saved, so you didn't even have to post it on the Facebook, and then I realized I had your number saved from the last time I called.
Well, you're a sexy little baloney tits.
There we go.
I had a quick, like, real question, because I didn't watch Breaking Bad. So I'm trying to understand, because he's not Saul.
No,
he's... That's not his name.
He's Jimmy McGill.
Okay, so how did he become Saul?
No, that's just like a... a pseudo name or whatever.
An alias?
He's going to become Saul.
It's like Babchek. Instead of like Bobcock, it's Babchek, you know, that kind of thing.
I get it. Yeah, but that's usually just messed up by, that's usually messed up by Dog. That's not really, like Mad Dog from Mad Dog Sports on 82, channel 82. Yeah. Mad Dog Sports on Sirius XM. He just screws up. We have a guy over there from Morning Men, Joe. You don't know because you're senile.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy on the morning show named Babchek.
Oh.
He gets called Babcock. Oh, all the time.
Okay.
So, but by the guy who pretty much runs the channel.
Does he have a big cock?
He does not have a big cock. We've all seen it, and it's
not
good at all.
No, he has a very small cock. So but anyway, it's funny because every time there's a Babcock and more, it must be like a furniture store or something. But every time I see one, I have Babchick's actual phone number. I'll send him a picture of the Babcock and more, the moving truck or whatever they have. what was the other question you have for me?
I was going to tell you to dissect fucking Better Call Saul because I don't know anything about it.
I'll tell you everything about it.
Well, all right, so wait, one at a time. Let's go to Joe first. Joe, dissect Better Call Saul.
Well, this is season four. It's just starting now. His brother, who was a real son of a bitch, died in the end of the
last Baloney Tits, what's playing in the background?
You got some kids going on.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm running a daycare for my house, too.
All right,
I apologize.
Go,
hey, whatever I have to do to pay for my subscription, right?
Oh, for SiriusXM?
For anything. Uncle Eddie's subscription. Don't you have a $10 subscription now every month so I can watch your show?
Fuck that. If we're charging, you guys are paying more than $10 for this shit.
Really?
Jesus Christ. That's all right, funny. All right. So hold on. Tell the kids to go play in traffic for a second. Joe, explain yourself.
Play in traffic.
Okay, at the end of last season, his brother, who was a son of a bitch, always, really fucked up guy.
Yeah.
It's a long story with his brother. His brother had a psychological problem.
So, kids, pay attention. His brother was a fucked up piece of shit.
Yeah. Right. His brother sets the house on fire, kills himself.
Okay.
Now, his brother is a big-time lawyer, big-time lawyer. Very rich man, but...
Had a firm.
He owns his own firm. But he's fucked up in the head. He's one of those guys who's allergic to electricity in his mind.
Okay.
He can't
he used to wear one of those, from the space suits and shit, those blankets and shit that got the aluminum you don't get any...
The reflective, it looks like tinfoil.
Yeah, exactly.
He had that all in his house, and everything was unplugged. You couldn't even bring a cell phone in his house. Yeah. I don't want to interrupt, but I was just expanding on it.
At the end of last season, last episode, he kills himself. He burns his house down and kills himself.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah. So as the rub now, Saul is... Because Saul's he's a good guy who does fucked up things.
Yes.
You know, he's really not a bad person, but he's the kind of guy who's like, he's a con man.
You realize you're describing yourself, right?
That's why I like the show. It's just sort of like,
it's a little bit of home.
This is my friend, you know.
It's like family.
But anyway, he's dealing with his brother.
Hey, kid, shut the fuck up!
I'm sorry. He almost got hit by a car. I apologize.
Oh, well, Jesus Christ, tell him when the car is coming, jump on the curb.
Exactly, yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What, do I have to parent your kids? God damn it.
We don't need
continue.
He's been watching too much Grand Theft Auto, I apologize.
Well, tell him to fucking go get a hooker and get his life fucking force up and lose some money and he'll be fine. Thank you.
Well, anyway, Saul's dealing with his brother's death. It's only two episodes into the fourth season.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, there's another story going on in there about the drug dealers.
Well, they're the ones from aren't they the one from Breaking Bad that tie in?
But this is a prequel.
Yeah, Mexicans and all those. Like, yeah.
The guy that owns the chicken place, right?
Right.
That ties in because that was there before.
Gus Frigg.
Yeah.
Frigg.
And a couple other guys, but yeah. What guy that rings the little bell? I forget his name.
Salamanca, you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's
Salamanca, yeah, because...
Is that his name in the show, or is that his real name?
That's his name in the show. Oh. As a matter of fact, in Better Call Saul, you see him, he's in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, do you remember when Gus Fring died in Breaking
Bad? I remember that he blows up some shit,
that's
right?
Salamanca.
But that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
He hates the guy so bad, you know, he's willing to, you know, he's fucked up.
He's ready to kill himself to kill him.
He's in the chair. He says, well, you know, that's how Walter White gives him the dynamite. Uh-huh. Says, hey, you know, give him a hug and fucking
blow him up.
Don't blow him up, you know.
All right, Baloney Tits, you got anything to add to the show? Because I got to kind of, you know, start the show.
Oh, yeah.
No, hey, man, I'm not trying to hold you guys up because I know, I mean, I've already had more time than I would on Scott Wetzel's show, but I do appreciate it. And, hey, just let me know when you're on again and I'll freaking hit you guys up. I got you on speed dial, my homie.
All right, my homie. Baloney Tits, Wednesday.
We're not on next week.
Every Wednesday except next week, because next week I will be in Vegas, baby. Yeah. Doing the event that I am doing.
A best of.
There will be a best of. Hopefully, I believe the best of is being prepared by our CUNT, our Canadian Unified Network Technician.
He is so great.
Or cunt.
He is so great.
That is Nick, who is pretty much the best hand in the business.
I want to hug him.
He's the best hand that we have, quite frankly. Later on in the program, by the way, even though it's an all Uncle Eddie and Joe show today.
That's right.
Later on, MMA legend, supposedly, I got the confirmation letter before, but knowing my goddamn luck, who the hell knows?
I'm coming.
We're going to have Frank Shamrock on the program. We're going to do like a redo of what happened last time. And, of course, we're going to be taking your phone calls just like this one. It's the Ham Radio Show. Who the hell's on my phone line now?
Hey, guys, it's Al.
Al Reaver Dirty, cocksucker!
Hey, you gonna give me a fuck you, Joe?
What? Yeah, give him a fuck you, Joe.
Yeah, fuck you, Joe.
There
that's
my buddy Al. I like him.
Al, how are you, sir? How is the world of entertainment law doing?
Oh, God, it's been interesting. At least, like, I'm in that leeway, like, in between period between my internship and my school semester. Oh. So I'm using, like, these 2 weeks to kind of just be somewhat productive and like work out and read books. Right. I'm like reading up on intellectual property right now, so that's actually
nice. That's what I find. Trust me, I'm going to need that in the future.
Hey, Al.
Yeah.
You're an attorney. What do you think about this Omarosa thing where she's taping the president without his knowledge and everything?
I was going to ask that. Is that to me? Let me ask a lawyer because you're a lawyer in training. You're going to become one of those death dealers, vampires known as lawyers.
Yeah.
Quick question, because Joe is absolutely right. Is that legal or not legal? Because she's not telling people she's fucking, recording them.
Yeah.
She's just recording them and then playing it at a later time.
In the situation room?
Yeah. First off, I think it's treasonous.
Oh, my God.
Because you're in the White House. You're not supposed to be recording shit. Look what happened to Nixon.
She's a spy.
Yeah, you don't record shit in the White House.
She's a spy.
Yeah, because they have, like, rules and policies in place there. And, like, the fact that she would go in there and record and, like, nobody else realized it until, like, oh, hey, like, X amount of months or years later. And that's like, a big red flag. That's a really big red flag.
The thing that makes me laugh, though, is that we're dealing with Omarosa, a woman who made her career. Yes, she did come from the corporate landscape prior to being on the before she was on The Apprentice, boys and girls. She was, in the corporate world.
I think she takes it up the ass.
Well, that's probably something that she might do, Joe. I'm not going to go yes or no on that because I'm not going to get sued by her.
Well, I think you know.
My point being is that she's a reality star. She has literally made a career out of being the reality show villain who has been on every fucking show. The Surreal Life, The Apprentice, multiple seasons of other programs where she played the reality show villain. Yeah. I remember a show, I believe it was The Surreal Life, where they were doing a picture. They were taking like a stock picture of the show and the cast members were all around. And she Janice Dickinson pulled a knife for the pitcher and literally was posing like she was going to stab Omarosa because nobody liked Omarosa.
Nobody likes them.
Okay? So now we're dealing with somebody. And look, I'm not defending Trump. I want everyone to understand that yet again. Joe is the Trump head. I'm not. Trumpet. You can be the trumpet, Joe. There you go. I'm not that guy. What I'm saying, though, is we're dealing with a president who came from a reality show landscape.
Yeah.
Where literally, we're in the middle of a reality show. We now have a reality show villain who's captivating a nation with the storyline of did he or did he not say the N-word?
That's so cool.
And now we have that storyline going. We have 26 other storylines going on. What's going on with the trial of the century?
Cohen.
Is Cohen going to get Mueller? Is Mueller going to get Cohen? Is this... Blah, 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 blah.
Comey.
And then you got the new Omarosa selling a book. And we got all this shit going on.
I love it.
It's like giant reality show.
Everything, all the trash of reality TV, and just put it on. Like, okay, this is bring it to the White House, where like you literally see all of, like Trump's appointees, like they're bouncing. Like it's I've never seen anything like this in any presidency whatsoever.
Yeah,
like he appoints them, okay, they work, and then whatever happens, and okay, gets fired, gets laid off, and I'm like, okay, this amount of just like appointing new people, like almost every other month, it's. I don't know how you.
But
how
that's.
You make up
but
it.
Then
it's,
that's
it's
the
unstable.
Survivor. Hold on, that's the survivor aspect
yeah.
of the reality show
yeah.
where we who's going to get voted off next,
yeah.
and everybody keeps making these jokes. But that's exactly what the fuck is happening. So if that's what's happening, you're watching
Absolutely.
The systematic breakdown of the White House, and you guys are watching it as if it is a reality program, and everyone's eating it up. Left, right, center. Everybody's watching the damn thing.
There you go. Everybody's interested in politics. Nobody's ever been interested in politics.
Yeah, nobody.
Everybody. The guy on the corner. The guy who sells hot dogs. Everybody's interested.
Everybody's got an opinion about our shitty president or the president that you love.
Either one.
Either way. Yeah. So the lead of the show is either a supervillain or he's a superhero
or
to
he's
you.
God.
We have a new villain to hate. We have Omarosa. Yep. Or we have a new villain to love because she's going to bring down the presidency.
We got a lot of sub-villains, too.
Yeah, it's literally...
Mueller.
It's like Game of Thrones meets every Survivor, every reality program ever.
I love it.
And that's what we have.
We'll never have a president like this again.
No, we won't.
You got to find another actor to go into the business.
Well, that's the thing I always laugh when they were talking about Oprah taking the spot. So you want to stop a reality show host... With a reality show host.
Yeah.
You're going to stop a TV person with a TV person.
Everybody loves
Oprah. I don't
think that. You can't put somebody...
I don't love Oprah.
No, everybody loves... You got to love Oprah.
No, you don't have to. See, that's the problem. Don't tell me what I got to love. I don't got to love Oprah.
See? Right away, you're dividing the country.
Yeah, there you go. I don't have to like anything.
Starting a civil war.
We could sit here and do the Trump thing, too. I don't like Trump. You like Trump. Do I think that they go after him too much? Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
But see, that's the thing. I can play... Both sides of the damn aisle. You mean I could sit there and tell you the shit they're doing wrong?
You think these politicians are playing us?
They're always playing us.
They know exactly what they're doing, and they know exactly what this is all about.
Yeah.
And they're really, you know, and they behind the scenes, they go, look, tomorrow what I'm going to do is I'm
going
to
say this fucked up thing. Al, who's on the phone right now, Al, who is in, he's going to become an entertainment lawyer.
Yeah.
He understands the business. There's definitely, like, PR aspects that Al had to learn. I have to deal with PR people all the fucking time. And
yeah, that's my undergrad.
And Al knows that all it is a goddamn smoke show.
Uh-huh.
So the entertainment business on a whole is a smoke show. So if you have a smoke show that is out there and you're presenting it as legitimacy and you're presenting it to middle America who's dumb as a box of fucking rocks. I mean, let's be fucking honest.
Yeah.
Most Americans do not understand how anything works in life.
I think they're learning, though.
I don't know if they're learning. I think they're just repeating shit like they hear on talk radio shows like this or TV programs.
I agree. That's true.
And like Alex Jones just yells at them and they go, you know what? There are lizard people.
He sounds good.
He's fucking right.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh made
it's
sense.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, now the norm is that, like, they're taking up the Trump where they're literally trying to be edgy and trying to call people out and just, like, berate them on Twitter. It's seeping into almost every single figure of society. You have, like, a video game society in, like, the Super Smash Brothers community. They're, like, you have people that are going after, like, top players, like, just to either troll them or just, like, make them feel bad. And it's seeping over. Like, you can see how, like, Trump's rhetoric has started to influence America.
Absolutely.
Because now people are starting to speak up more. I have, like, in the past few years that I've seen, like, all these viral videos taking place of, like, these people that are trying to, like, talk to foreigners or, like, just, like, immigrants, tell them to go back to their country. They're speaking up now, and it's just like, you're like, okay, well, if anything, this shows to prove that there was, like, racism was never done in America.
No, wait,
it's just that now people think it's okay because of look at what we have in the White House right here.
Yeah, but see, it's a combination of everything. It's not just what we have in the White House. See, this is where now that I have to defend the White House, not Trump, but
okay,
I'm going to defend the White House, because the fact of the matter is Trump did not invent racism. We act as if, like, because this and yes, is he a polarizing asshole? Does he say dumb shit sometimes? Joe can even attest to the fact that he says dumb shit sometimes.
Absolutely.
But the fact of the matter is, for us to act as if the nation wasn't polarized and separated before this, all he did was like, take his cane and stir the stakes up. You know, he tapped the floor and stirred the stakes. That's what he did.
Yeah.
And other people came out, and now they feel like, and I agree with you, they do feel like because he's in office and he tells it like it is and whatnot and this, that, and the third, that they can say the same shit too. However, we're also dealing with a society that's pussified because you're tying the hands of America.
Absolutely.
By saying you can't say this or you can't say that. Or that's offensive. This is offensive. Let's go after this one. Let's attack that one. Debbie, how are you? By the way, Debbie in the Facebook Live suite right now saying hi to us. Hi, Debbie.
Hey.
The fact of the matter is you've pussified America. And I'm not saying that Trump did that. I'm saying America did that to himself.
Absolutely.
We all did that to ourselves. We made it simplistic for a guy like Trump to spew his rhetoric.
Oh.
And we can't do anything about it
because we
demanded this magic change because for some odd reason, we didn't understand that all the presidents that came before were a bunch of morons.
Yeah.
Everybody, even Trump's a moron to me because anybody that holds that office.
But they were well-spoken.
Yes. To me, that office is all the same. They make promises. They change their minds. All the presidents, Clinton, Obama, Bush 1, Bush 2, the sequel.
How's your Bush?
How's your Bush? All of them. It does not matter who it is, with the exception of maybe Jimmy Carter, who, like, was honest, but he was a hick.
Yeah.
Okay?
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I
like peanuts. Let's go after the hostages. I like peanuts.
And his brother was peeing on trees.
Yeah, I like peanuts. And I mentioned now I build houses for the homeless. But the fact of the matter is, it's not Trump's fault in that respect. We made this society. We are living in a society where, with him at the helm, hatred is out there already. Now they feel more empowered. Yeah, you're right. But the fact of the matter is, we also don't combat it because we're pussified on the other side.
Absolutely.
We're not fighting it. We're not taking it. We're literally, do you realize that they are still trying to get him out of the White House? Do you, like, let's be fucking honest.
Yeah.
They're still trying to get him out of the White House.
Oh, God.
And they have nothing on him. Do you understand that he will throw his son on the sword before he ever gets touched?
Sure.
So, like,
his son will die willingly.
Exactly.
On the sword.
Well, he'll also kick him in the ass too if he doesn't want to go.
Yeah,
don't worry, I got another son. I got a couple of them.
Yeah.
We'll make a new baron in the lab. The fact is, we have a society that is letting this happen.
Oh, sure.
But we are the biggest hypocrites. We say one thing, then we're letting it happen, and then we're pissed that it's happening. That's the funny part to me. We're pissed that the world is going to shit, but we ain't doing nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're just sitting there telling everybody, oh, don't do this, Don't say that. You make an offensive movie. This thing's, you have a TV show. You're offensive. This offended me. That offended me. Blah, blah, blah. And all the time, and all the, in the background, Trump is doing what Trump wants to do.
Absolutely.
Well, we all sit here and bicker about dumb shit.
Yep. I'm a Rosa.
Yeah.
I think what we have to do, we have to realize, like, it starts from something. And if anything, like, we have to thank Trump for at least, like, he's putting this on display because whatever's been happening, like, or behind the scenes, we were all just oblivious because of whoever was in the White House beforehand. At least Trump brought this to the front circle. We were like, okay, what do we have to do now? Like, what can we do now? I see friends are sharing all these videos. Yeah. I see people trying to make all these talking points. Mm-hmm. But I think that what it has to start, what we have to do here is something that has been taking place for a long, long time. The power, of course, they have the executive branch, they have the legislature, but the true power is in freaking lobbying. Like, if in order to make any of this shit change, you have to lobby the shit out of people.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely. But
the NRA, they pay people to go over there, and they pay, and like, the fact of the matter is, we can bicker, we can protest all we want, but the thing is, though, if we protest, that's fine, but when you actually have an impact on the law,
then you're actually doing something, and that is exactly what I'm talking about. We're not accomplishing anything. We're just literally beating our own chests. And saying, look at us, we're big, we're bad, we're going to take down Trump. Meanwhile, this fucker is still moving on. He's still in there. He's got, what has he got, a year and a half?
X, Y, and Z
what has
right
he got
now,
left?
Yeah.
What has he got left? Someone give me the Trump clock. What has he got left? You know what I mean? Like, the first showing of Trump the movie is almost over when you really think about it. Because
You're right.
Think about it. And we're dealing with... The Democrats who keep fucking wanting to whine, where is your candidate? Give me somebody who's going to go against and go out there and dominate this man in November when that happens.
No way.
Who do you have? What are you going to give me?
Biden,
Bernie? You're going to give me? No, Biden ain't going to do shit.
Nah, he's old.
Biden ain't going to do shit.
And so is Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders, that's why his initials are BS, because he ain't going to do shit. What are we going to do, dig up Hillary out of fucking mothballs and send her out there?
No, they have to change. After the embarrassment what happened in 2016, they can't go with Hillary anymore.
Exactly, and we saw the true colors of what happens when they lose, because they don't handle loss well.
Not at all.
Okay? You lost, and everyone cried in the Javits Center, and she didn't even come out.
Oh,
She didn't even come out.
She was in fucking shock, man.
Yeah.
But this is my point. We're not handling it yet again. That is literally what I'm talking about. We're not handling it well. You know what I mean? We're sitting there, we're pounding our whole chest going, he is wrong, he is wrong, he is wrong. But you're doing nothing to change what is wrong.
You're
doing
absolutely
nothing to change it. You're just screaming at the top of your lungs how bad this asshole with the fucked up hair is in the White House.
Where's your candidate with the new ideas?
I
think what we need right now is just like, okay, Democrats have to come up with somebody, or at least like see what, even if any of the third parties are able to come up, because people want to talk about why is this a two-party system, and they can try on that. But I'm going down like a different avenue. But I think what we need to do, okay, going back to your comment about, yes, pussified nation. Oh, my God.
We're beyond pussified.
We need to make sure that there's like a line to be like, okay, we can understand when to like step in for the kids, but sometimes the kids have to get like hit. They're gonna get through like the first 10 years of life. And if they don't get like a scratch or either, then something's wrong. And they need to get that harsh reality in order to reverse this pussified type of culture.
For example, I want to bring this up.
Yeah.
For example, we live in such a pussified nation that the fact of the matter is, when you have a Disney fucking movie coming out, Jungle Cruise. I read this in the paper the other day. Jungle Cruise is coming out. The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson just came out. He promoted, he showed the giant set that they're going to do. This movie has been literally in the works for eons at Disney. They had to put everything behind it. They wanted to put all this money because Jungle Cruise, if you remember, is a ride at Disneyland and Disney World that's been around since the fucking park opened. Okay? So they decided, hey, we're going to make a movie. We're going to make a movie. Good for you. Good for you. You're going to make a movie.
Yeah.
Now, this is what I mean why we're baffled by bullshit. Where the where we're staring at something instead of looking at the, like, we're looking at this, but meanwhile, the Roma's on fire over here. Nero's been playing that fiddle for a while.
There you go.
So now the Jungle Cruise has a character in the movie. It will be officially Disney's first gay character in a motion picture. It is not being played by a gay person. So now the gay people are up in arms.
We want a gay man.
They are fucking, they are wigging the fuck out. Okay, there's not a gay person in the movie, but an actor portraying a gay man.
I kind of agree with
that. In the movie. Wait a minute. Hold on for a second. This is the problem. We're more concerned with that. We're more concerned with the Omarosa book. We're more concerned of did he or did he not say the N-word. We're more concerned about what Roseanne said. We're more concerned about what James Gunn made a joke fucking 20 years ago. We're more concerned about all this other shit than what exactly is going on in front of us. Because around us, yet again, Rome is burning.
Yes,
and Nero is playing the fiddle. But for some odd fucking reason, America's fucking tone deaf and doesn't hear the fiddle playing in the background. Doesn't look around and smell the smoke and see the soot and see everything going on around them.
Yeah.
They just sit there and bitch about what is offending them today.
It's bacon.
Yeah. They smell bacon. They don't smell the truth. And that's a scary fucking situation. I'm not going to break. I think we're doing commercial free. Fuck it.
Commercial free?
We're doing commercial free because I have no staff here today.
Jesus.
Danny has the fucking commercials. He's gone.
You can play some more.
I got tons of people that are in here that want to talk, so I'm going to hang up on you, Al. No offense. Al, can you please can you please just tell Joe fuck you?
Please.
Fuck you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
There you go. So fuck you, Joe, in a way, because I got Marcus in the Facebook Live suite saying konnichiwa. He's got a brand new show with Carla Force. I wanted to talk to them about it.
Absolutely.
So if he wants to come in there, I would like him to come on the show today.
Sure,
So 718-577-1389. It's the Ham Radio Show. We're going commercial free today because it literally is just me and Joe in a basement here on the Unfiltered Radio Network. It's just us.
How am I going to take a pee?
Yeah, you can take a pee. You can get up and pee at any time. This is reality radio, Joe. If you want to pee, go get me a water. That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Whatever, go do. I will sit here and host
a
program.
Would you like something hot?
I would like, you know what? Make me tea.
I could be a hot chocolate. Would you like hot chocolate?
No, I think that would be too coady for the throat. Like a nice tea, but bring me a cold water if you can, too.
I certainly will.
That would be superb. Let's go to the phones, though, right now. It's the Ham Radio Show on the line, 718-577-1389. Who the hell is on my phone line now?
Man, what happened, Eddie? What the hell happened?
Literally, before we go on air, I get a text message from Billy. He can't make it in. He had work that got compromised. He couldn't come in. Danny's on sabbatical. I'm left with Joe, who just left to go make me tea. So basically, it's the Uncle Eddie program. So I'm deciding, since I do own the channel, hamradioshow.com, and of course, the Unfiltered Radio Network, I believe that we should go live and unfucking filtered, commercial free today. And Bisexual Marcus is on the phone. Bisexual Marcus now has a brand new show of his own.
I have a network.
You have a network and a show.
Yeah.
What is it? The Speakeasy Network? What is it?
It's the Speakeasy Network. We already have 4 shows on there. I'm doing a show with the cunt that is Carla Kitty.
Yes, that's black. That is black cock raven Carla from our show is now doing a show with you. Now, are you Rage? Is that what she calls you on the show? Is that what you are?
Yeah, that's been my name, sort of, kind of, for about the last, like, I don't know, like, 6 years I've been podcasting. I've been like, that's pretty much what people have called me. So, cause like they say that I like to bitch and rage a lot.
Well,
so,
you do. I mean, you don't, I don't think that you bitch. I think that you are an angry young man. I'm not going to say that you're not.
I am an angry young man. Like last night I was just fighting my manly rage.
Okay.
No pun intended. Because Carla, the problem with Carla is that she is so stuck in this, like, in this world of Narnia, where, like, every fucking, where, like, men are supposed to, like, bow down and kiss y'all and kiss women's ass and like, last night, the focus of the episode was, like, she thinks, she had a problem with me basically saying that for a woman like Carla, at minimum, I would spend about $10 at a McDonald's on her.
Hold on, wait a minute. You're taking black cock raving Carla to a McDonald's and you're only spending $10 on her?
Minimum. And I'll tell you why.
Please tell me why.
Because Carla's pussy, right? Like, what is she in her 50s? Like, she's...
Is she in her 50s? I don't even know if she's in her 50s.
No, she's in her 40s.
I was going to say, but Jesus Christ.
It's just a thing where, like, her the value of her pussy is starting to depreciate. So it's like...
What's the blue book value on her pussy?
That's why I say I'm only spending about $10. Minimum.
By the way, if anyone's just tuning in, this is Bisexual Marcus on our phone line. Bisexual Marcus, obviously by the name, loves the cock and loves the puss. He is hosting a new program on the Speakeasy Radio Network where it's Carla and Rage or whatever. What's the name of the show?
It's basically the Carla Kitty Show with Rage.
All right, so Carla Kitty Show with Rage. And Carla, who is the host of the program, is a... big-titted woman who disagrees with the male perspective that comes out of course, Marcus's mouth. Marcus saying that he would only pay $10 at a McDonald's if he was taking her out. Now, to me, I think women need to understand, because this plays off of that for a second, I think women need to understand that not every man subscribes to chivalry. That is something that I think women think automatically because they are women, automatically that guys are just going to do that. You're not going to get that all the time. And then, like, when I do it, because I am a very chivalrous guy. I'm still the guy that opens the door for the woman. I'm still the woman that doesn't take her to McDonald's, you motherfucker, for $10. I'm still the guy that, you know, drives there. I'm still the guy that, at one point... I was the guy that still brought them flowers, still brought them a rose or something. That would be me. But back, I'm not going to lie to you, sometimes it blew up in my face and sometimes it worked. So you do build some form of a kind of thick crust around your heart, which makes you stop wanting to do that. Now, talking to Marcus, I was going to say, because Marcus's thick fucking crust is actually like a steel trap around his heart. He does not subscribe to the chivalrous ways of the Uncle Eddies of the world.
Hold on. I do. Wait a minute. I'm a very chivalrous person. I am a gentleman. But here's the difference. Here's my thing.
I have never seen you be a quote-unquote gentleman, sir. But I will let this happen.
You'd be surprised.
I would be surprised. Well, are you a gentleman to the men that you're banging, or are you a gentleman to the ladies?
I'm a gentleman to the men and the women, but here's the difference. The women automatically expect, they expect that. But what I do, my gentleman, me being a gentleman, me being chivalrous, that's like a gift. I give that to whomever I want, to whomever I choose. Women think, they automatically think, that they are entitled to that shit. And I'm saying they're not, all of them are.
Okay, so I can agree with that. That I can definitely agree with. They're not entitled to me. If you act like a bitch, you're not going to get the best of me. You're going to get the worst of me.
Yeah. So me saying that I'm going to spend $10 at a McDonald's for Carla is basically me saying that not every girl deserves a 5-star restaurant at Cafe La Ritz in New York. Because that's what girls think they expect, too. They expect you to wine them and dine them and all that shit. But what are they doing to actually earn that? Because they think that just because they got that apparatus between their legs,
pussy,
they don't get whatever the fuck they want.
Absolutely. I mean, it is definitely a talking point that you're making, a very valuable talking point. Some girls automatically do not appreciate when a man is being a man and being chivalrous and being a gentleman and being a not an asshole to them. And some of them actually prefer the assholes to the men, to the men acting like an aristocrat, quite frankly. To the, you know what I mean? Like they enjoy the assholes of the world, and they like it. I mean, that's what they like. And sometimes I agree that they have, some women have to be put in their place when it comes to in that respect. Ooh. where you're mistreating the guy and you don't care. Now you're saying that Carla Black Cock Craven Carla is that person? Is Carla Force mistreating men?
I don't think she's mistreating men. I think Carla is just simply abusing the power that she has. She's abusing the power that women have now, and it's not her fault. Look, I'll be fucking fair.
Please be
Was there a point when men had the power and we abused it? Absolutely.
We still do.
But two wrongs don't make a right.
Absolutely.
And women now.
No, I said absolutely. You're right.
Well, don't you think women have the power that we give them, in a sense? I mean, we allow them to get away with certain things because we want sex, you know, or whatever it comes down to.
Yeah,
that's not only the women's fault. That's also our fault.
Absolutely. That's the man's fault. That's not the woman's fault at all. Because if she knows she's getting away with it, because all you're using her for is that apparatus between her legs, as you affectionately referred to it as. And if you do that, the fact of the matter is, then you're the fucking blame. You're the fucking idiot then.
Here's why I partially say it's their fault.
Go ahead.
Whenever pussy became important, right, like in the year fucking one.
It was right after after they discovered fire.
Yeah.
I remember it well. Cro-Magnon man turned and went, "Hey, pussies.
I think that's good.
That's really good. It's just as warm as fire, and we can put our dicks in it.
I keep warm."
Yeah, but not believe that. Like, it's a matter of, like, women come, they come to think that, oh, I can use this to get that dude's rocks, to get that dude's firewood.
Did you just come to this fucking, like, this idea that women have been using their pussies as weapons?
Well, don't you think guys do that too?
I was going
to
say, like, you didn't discover the wheel, motherfucker.
I didn't come to this idea just now.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I mean, it took me a while to learn it. Come to now.
The fact of the matter is, and Debbie wrote this in the Facebook Live stream, by the way, I want to give her credit on this. Mm-hmm. Nobody has class anymore. It used to be about presenting the best of yourself when out. Okay? Now people don't care what anyone thinks or says. So they act in a different way. Now, also,
some truth to that.
My point is, men are simple creatures. We are dumb. We are simple creatures. Our plumbing is on. Let me explain why we're dumb. And this even goes to you, and you're bisexual, and I'm going to explain this to you. Our plumbing is on the outside. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Their plumbing's on the inside.
Mm-hmm. We have to find it.
Here are two points. Number one, when you have to get a woman off, it's work to get a woman off. It is not work to get a man off. You can whistle at my dick. I'm going to come.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I get excited in a moving car.
Damn right.
Yeah.
We are dumb motherfuckers. That's the problem. We are dumb. If a naked woman walked in while we were having a conversation, the show would stop.
I know.
We would not know what to say.
Go off the air.
We would be like, pointing at our penises like Harvey Weinstein on a date.
I want that.
Okay? That's what we do.
Yeah.
Women, if a naked dude walked in with a dick and everything, dick and balls, walks into a room, women will look at it, and then they'll go, "So I was at the supermarket
That's
today.
That's disgusting.
And let me tell you, ham was only $2.99 a pound.
Yeah.
Okay? That is the difference between men and women. Men are dumb creatures. We have to embrace we have to embrace that fact that we are not the most fucking smartest group. Okay? Because women get us to do dumb shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Marcus, women have gotten you to do dumb shit in your life, all right?
But to say something in men's defense, once we get laid, we don't give a fuck no more.
Yeah, because that's the dumbness leaving.
But Now, here's what I'll say.
Please
say. Our men dumb, I'll agree with you there. But that's also exactly what you just said is what makes men better than women.
You think?
Because we have options for what we do, what we can do with our apparatus. My cum can go in you, on you, or off you.
options. So do they. My it's called squirting. Huh?
Well, no.
It's called squirting. No. It's called squirters. What the fuck are you talking about? Their cum can go everywhere.
But they don't have options. I can kill life. They can't kill life.
Yes, they can.
Their life bleeds out of them for no reason.
Are you the dumbest motherfucker in the world? Do you realize that there has never been a war fought over dick? There has only been wars fought over...
That's true.
There has only been a war fought over pussy.
Yes.
Go talk to Helen of Troy.
Yeah.
Okay?
And that's why I say it is partially also women's fault.
It is
because it goes back to what I said.
We are dumb.
They learned that I can get this dumb motherfucker's rocks and firewood and make him fight over his fucking brother for this pussy. They put that thought into their mind and transferred that thought into our minds. They put the value into it, and we bought into that value.
By the way, Al in the Facebook live stream said, LOL, that was the smartest thing Joe ever said.
What'd I say?
I have no clue.
I have to write it down.
Debbie's saying, oh, my God, bingo. My point being is that do you realize that you're like, look, I'm not shitting on the male society. I'm saying that men have to step up and realize our dumbness. We have to embrace the fact that women make us do dumb shit because we think with our dicks. Ooh. I love how women always tell me I'm like a sexaholic and this, that, and the third. And they go, oh my God, if you were a sex addict, you'd rather be having sex than be here. Yes! Who wouldn't fucking rather be having sex?
Eddie Joe.
Think about it for a second.
You say men are dumb, right?
Men are dumb. Go ahead.
Let's test how dumb men are.
Go ahead, please.
What would you rather? Think of the best looking fucking porn star. Think of your favorite fucking porn star.
Okay.
Walking into that fucking studio right now, butt ass naked.
Yes.
Begging you to fuck her.
Yes.
You have a choice between that.
Yes.
Or a sandwich.
What kind? Corned beef?
What would you take?
I'm taking the porn star because I'm not hungry right now.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
Are you fucking... What fucking
are you
planet?
Choosing pussy over food? Would you take pussy over money?
Depends on how much money I got. It totally fucking matters. If you have to give me a swear. Hold on, wait. You got to give me the fucking criteria. If I am look, did you see the size of me? I can do without a sandwich. I can't do without pussy, motherfucker. Okay? That's number one. Number two, if I was poor, yes, give me cash over pussy any day of the week.
But I have money, I'll give you for the pussy.
I'm going to Vegas in 3 days. I think financially, I'm fine.
Eddie Finocchio, I am so disappointed in you.
Are you shitting me?
I am so disappointed in you.
Wait a minute.
How the hell?
You cannot
wait. I don't care if I'm hungry now or later. I'll take a fucking sandwich over a bitch any day.
You can't tell me. Wait, first off, you like cock and pussy. So you can't. You know, because you're a greedy motherfucker. You got both. So, okay, I refuse the pussy. I got the sandwich. Now I'm going to go suck a dick. That's your life. I can't do that. I don't go, oh, you know what? I'll take that Reuben sandwich. Joe, whip out your cock. I need some extra mayo.
I know.
That doesn't happen in my existence. It happens in your life, my friend.
I'm sorry, man. I'll take $10 over fucking Annabella Danger any day, and I love that.
Are you shit, dude? First off,
you wouldn't pay $10 to have a beautiful girl?
You're shitting me.
Are you kidding
me? You have totally shocked me, my friend.
$10.
Are you kidding me? Annabelle, wait, Annabelle
money,
in Danger.
There are so many things that are more important than pussy. Pussy to me is like it's not
what?
A necessity in life. It's an amenity.
It's not
like,
no,
it's
nice, you're right,
it's nice to have, but it ain't important.
Wait a minute. The fact of the matter is you're absolutely right. It is not a necessity, but all you're offering me is a sandwich versus my favorite porn star.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck am I going to... I mean, how
about a house in the country? That's different, you know?
And not to mention also, how good is this sandwich? What the fuck?
Yeah. I get a sandwich.
Right, how good
dude,
is the sandwich?
I hung out with four fucking porn stars today. Four of them. Ginger Banks, Raven Hart, Kendra Sutherland, and Rochelle Ryan today.
I was beating off the Raven Hart today.
Oh, God, I beat off the Raven Hart as soon as I got home. But and I beat off to one of our fans who listens to the show who showed me her tits, and I jacked one off. You know why? Because I didn't want a fucking sandwich. I wanted to come, you dummy. What the fuck? Mike, you like, literally... Are you shitting me that you're first off, you're lying. Because if a because I know you're fat fucking ass.
Yeah.
If a porn star
if
a porn star came into this studio and your punk ass, hold on for a minute. And your punk, I gotta hang up on somebody right now. If your punk ass was in this studio and they were like, no, I want the black one.
I like Marcus, he's big.
I like his penis.
Yeah, he looks good.
Okay. Wait, hold on. We're on the air. Stop calling us for 5 fucking seconds. I'm talking to Bisexual Marcus and reaming his ass.
That's right.
And he likes it because he's bisexual. If you're going to call the show, stop calling the show. If you're going to call the show,
it must be your mother.
Call 718-577-1389. Call the show in a couple of minutes when I'm done yelling at Marcus and proving my point. Stop calling the show. All right, listen. The fact of the matter is, when you were here that day in this studio,
yes,
motherfucker, when you were here in this studio,
maybe it's Billy,
and I said, here's the fucking beautiful porn star to come out there to you. It's your favorite porn star. Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite?
Aaliyah Hadid.
All right, so Aaliyah Hadid, come on in. And Aaliyah Hadid walks in. And she goes, you know what? I like guys with the name Marcus, and I'd like to give them my pussy. Okay? So now the pussy's on a platter. It's sitting there for you. She goes, I want to fuck you. Or, door number two, you can have this turkey on rye.
Ooh.
Where exactly would you pick the turkey on rye?
Is it honey basted?
Over, it's the best. It's honey glazed turkey.
I don't know.
Over fucking whatever the fuck Hadid. You're the girl. I don't remember her first name right now.
Haboob.
Haboobie Hadid.
Haboobie baby.
Is this a once in a lifetime deal?
No, it's every fucking day. She's going to come by to your house and fuck you.
Yeah, with a sandwich.
With a sandwich in one hand and her cunt in the other. What the fuck do you think it's going to be? Of course it's going to be a one-time affair. This is a special moment. And the pussy's going to be so good that fireworks are going to shoot out of her ass.
I'm telling you.
But
man,
you want the sandwich because you're supposed to prove to me that men aren't stupid.
But it's a good sandwich, though.
The stupid decision is taking the sandwich. Mm. The smart decision is fucking the porn star.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
A good Italian bread roll, a nice roll.
I don't give a shit how good the sandwich is. Mm. There's nothing. Like, dude, I've gone to the Bunny Ranch, and I've gotten the fuck 11s. Fuck 10s.
Well, that's different. That is fucking different. That is a line of a line of gorgeous bitches in front of you. What are you supposed to do with that?
So when
they turn that down?
So when they lined up the gorgeous bitches, at the end of the row was a salami with cheese. I didn't go, oh, fuck. Let me fuck that.
Excuse me.
Excuse me, Dennis. I'm going to take the hoagie over the hose. What? What fucking planet are you from?
You have any Grey Poupon?
The only meat that was getting dipped was my meat into her. Okay? Man, look, you're fucking annoying sometimes.
All I'm saying is that there are more important things than pussy. That's all I'm saying.
Of course there is. Air.
Yeah.
Life in general.
Your general health. You gotta be healthy.
But if Aaliyah Hadid was in that fucking studio, I'm shoving you fucking white, you fucking whiteys out the way, and I'm fucking her on top of that goddamn
desk. That's my guy.
Yeah, make it racial, you cock juggling thunder. All right, I gotta get off the phone with you because I gotta get ready for Frank Shamrock since we've gone commercial free.
Oh,
I got Frank Shamrock coming on the show, so I gotta get off with you. And enough about your sandwiches and pussy. Mm-hmm. We got more important things to do. Okay, Marcus?
All right,
I'll talk to you later.
Good listen, show, Marcus.
By the way, listen to the Carla. What's the name of the show again?
The Carla Kitty Show with Rage. We go live every Tuesdays at 10 o'clock. We got us a like page on Facebook, the Speakeasy Network. Follow us on Twitter at speakeasy_net. Yeah, you'll find it. You'll find it.
I'm sure
you're going to, on the next episode of their show, Marcus is going to go to a Subway sandwich shop jerk off.
I might. I just might.
Yeah.
Good jerk off the Wendy's.
Don't try the mayo. All right, bye, Marcus.
Bye, Marcus.
Jesus Christ, a sandwich over a porn star.
I don't know.
What the fuck? Of course I'm taking the porn star.
Well, I don't know. Could be a good sandwich.
Are you? I don't give a shit how good the sandwich is. There is no sandwich that is as good as banging a fucking 13 on the scale of 1 to 10.
What about a sandwich for life? So I give you like a sandwich for life. You know, like
I don't care.
Or something like that.
Dude, I really don't care. There is no way. William, hold on about calling in. I know William says he's trying to call in. William, hold off on calling in because we have to get ready. We're going to have Frank Shamrock. I have to actually call him.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to win that. And we didn't go to commercial because we don't have any.
Yeah, we're playing without a net today.
Yeah, so we don't have any commercials today because I have no crew in today. I have Joe. Joe, say hi to the people.
Hello, people.
There you go. That's all I have.
I don't do nothing.
And then I have callers calling in asking me if they can fucking have a sandwich or a porn star. It's the Ham Radio Show. Who's this? I got to make it quick. I got Frank Shamrock coming on the phone. Who are you?
I got you, man. My name is William. How you doing, man?
Hey, Willie.
How are you, brother?
How you doing, man? Real quick, I'm a friend of that jerk off you just spoke with, and we used to be podcast hosts together.
Okay.
On one of my shows, and he's a good dude. I gotta give him that. But real quick, he's missing a point. It ain't the pussy that's fucked up. It's the woman that's connected to it that can get you fucked up.
There you go. Now you're speaking my language. Give him a horn. Joe, give him another one. Because seriously, first off, let me ask you
I'm going to give him a whistle.
Give him a whistle, too. There you go.
There you go, yeah.
William, if you had to choose, because today's Q&A of the day seems to be this, sandwich or porn star?
Oh, we going for the porn star every time, man. Yeah. Every time we going for the porn star.
Joe, give him another whistle.
Okay.
That's a horn. Give him a whistle.
Okay.
There you go.
And that will work for Hillary's vagina.
There you go. I don't even.
All right, fellas.
Thank you, Will, for calling in the show, man. Thank you for listening. Keep listening. Keep hyping the show. Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, man.
You too, buddy.
All right. So, I mean, it's just a funny fucking. I don't understand his reasoning.
Well, he could have picked something more interesting than a sandwich. Suppose he would have said $1 million.
But not to mention, he also said if they offered you fucking $10.
$10.
Or I'm taking the porn star every time.
I'll pay the $10.
Dude, Lisa Ann was on our show last week.
Yeah, she's nice.
If Lisa Ann
she's so nice.
Yeah, she was an outstanding guest.
What a person.
And beautiful person inside and out.
Absolutely.
If Lisa Ann decided to slum and said, I want to fuck the fat one that hosts the show. But he has to choose. He's got to choose between a fucking Big Mac and my pussy. He's got to make the choice. Before she said the words Big Mac, it would have been Big Muh. I would have been inside of her. Do you understand eating her box?
Yes.
I don't think you understand it. Manjana, I don't think you get it.
Manjana.
It's fucking crazy.
Manjana.
It's fucking nutty. All right, I have to get...
Yeah, we got
to
get ready for Shamrock.
Frank Shamrock going to be on the show. The originator of MMA, quite frankly.
Give me some background on Frank.
Oh, sure. I can do that.
Okay.
An originator of MMA, Joe. He was there before it was actually called Mixed Martial Arts.
Oh.
He literally was the... I believe it was called, I had a different name.
Is he
a
founder?
Not a founder. He's one of the guys that went out there and
participator
in the business. Okay. Into the because it had a different. It was submission fighting.
Uh-huh.
That's really all it was called, or catch wrestling if you're British.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other names like. Minoru Suzuki, who wrestles actually in New Japan Pro Wrestling, another originator of MMA. I mean, these are guys that brought real technical fighting skills to a ring. And then this is before they were getting paid nothing to do this.
Oh, yeah.
So this is way before. I mean, he went out there and he took the style, like a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and all these other things that are out there. And made it happen. I don't know. This might be him. Hold on. It's the Ham Radio Show. Who's this?
This is Frank Shamrock.
Hey! We were just talking about you. We were just singing your praises. Frank Shamrock on the phone right now. We were singing Frank's praises because we were saying that you were one of the originators of MMA. I mean, before it was MMA, you were fighting what a lot of people called submission fighting or catch wrestling, right?
It is true.
Now, what made you get into that form of, I guess, martial arts? Because it's considered a martial art. So what made you get into that, Frank?
Well, that's just where we started. My brother, Ken Shamrock, was my first teacher. And he started as a submission wrestler. So when I started, we learned basic submission wrestling straight from Japan and straight from... the old Fujiwara group, which is where Ken learned it. And I was originally a grappler, and then I developed, a whole fighting style to try to be a complete fighter.
And what is your fighting style called? Like, what is it deemed as from your, what's your degree in that?
I don't know. We just, at the end of it, called it Shamrock Mixed Martial Arts, so that was easier, but
it was
the game for me was to create a complete fighting style that was good in all areas, and everything flowed as, naturally for your body. So, for me, it was like a big martial arts study.
It was called Shamrock Fuck You Up Foo.
Yeah,
and they would put you in these moves and just take you out of the game.
Yeah.
It was very effective. Yeah, it was very, it really worked.
Yeah, no, it totally worked because you were the first ever light middleweight champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was light heavyweight champion, and then it was middleweight. For UFC, I was.
But do you look back at your career and realize how fucking nutty that is? Like, you were just talking about food. You were learning from the Fujiwaras. The people that developed the Fujiwara armbar, they have a move named after them because they made that move.
Yeah.
And you're learning from that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you were on the cusp, you were at the beginning of all this, and now to see the sport explode, like the UFC, and you got Strikeforce, and you got all these other brands that are out there, do you sit back and you look at yourself as like one of the grandfathers, the pioneers of the great sport of MMA?
I do feel a little grandfatherly towards the sport. Yeah, I do look back fondly at it. It's crazy, because when we were doing it, or when I was doing it, I was just trying to become the best, and then I had to become a broadcaster because, there wasn't enough money and there wasn't enough attention. And then eventually I had to start my own league. And so there was a very strange evolution for me. It was cool, man. Now to see it everywhere and to see all the kids doing it and moms and, to have it on, television basically every day, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, because it's like it was a different universe back then. It was a different world. It wasn't what it is now. So, you look at it, and the people you were there when they were looking at it, and they were calling it like human cockfighting. When they were looking at two men beating the shit out of each other, and they're like, "Holy shit, what is this? They don't even use big boxing gloves. They use these little 6-ounce gloves." And only they looked at you as if you were just insane, and you had to go. You had to go past all that shit, and still show that it was a sport. Like, that's insane to me to think that you had to climb over that hurdle to become the legend that you are.
Sure.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, but it makes for great, you know, fifth grade stories when you're telling your daughter how to never give up and how to, you know, accomplish her goals and stuff. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you have? Do you teach your daughter how to, like, you know, fuck up a dude if he's trying something?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, nice. She's like this petite, little, cute, brown-haired girl, but she's this deadly, deadly weapon.
Well, that's the thing. If you look at Frank Shamrock, too, if you look at Frank, even back in the day, mm-hmm. he wasn't Mr. Giant Muscles. He would get ripped, don't get me wrong. Six-pack, had, you know, had a great body. I'm not saying that. But you don't look at him and go, this guy's the fucking toughest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. You look at him, you're like, ah, I can get past this little guy right here. And meanwhile, he would fuck you up. Fuck you up. And you what, like, because some of your other fights, you fought, like, Boss Rutan, who is, without question, one of the biggest badasses that ever was.
Yeah.
And did you ever fight Mizuru Suzuki?
I did. I fought him twice, actually.
That's a scary fucking guy.
Yeah.
He's wrestling.
He's pretty badass. He's still going.
He's still going to New Japan, and he literally is, like, the stiffest guy in the business.
Really?
He will fuck you up.
Yeah, he's a real deal. He's no joke. He's from the old school.
Now what degrees do you have? You are Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I'm guessing, because obvious, that's, to me, an obvious one. But what other disciplines do you hold?
Well, I never really officially got any belts in anything, but I beat up everybody. So,
there you go.
You know, a lot of styles gave me belts and kind of honored me with stuff. But I did study, in particular, like American kickboxing, Muay Thai, boxing, American wrestling, judo, jiu-jitsu, sambo, and some stick fighting. I thought stick fighting was really cool, too.
Now, stick fighting, though, like Filipino stick fighting, am I correct? We'll probably never see you do that in a ring, per se, because that gets a little violent.
But I always thought, like, you know, if it ever went to the judges and there had to be, like, some draw, they could give us sticks and we could just settle it.
See? And that would be, this is why he's a badass. You see, he wants to settle the fight where he's probably already, like, a pool of blood. He likes to settle it with, here's a stick, beat the shit out of each other, last man standing wins. That's what he's going to do. That's the craziness that is Frank Shamrock. Now, your career has been just ups and downs. You left, you had returns, like you were saying. You fought all, like, the biggest names that have ever been in the thing. You've held numerous titles. I mean, there's way too many to even count. You've held so many belts from all different companies and everything else. You've done color commentary for Showtime. You've done so much different things. What is the thing that you love the most? Do you love getting in the ring and beating the shit out of somebody, or do you love using your mouth as a weapon when you were doing color commentary?
I like, more than all that stuff, although I do like beating people up and the broadcasting, I like creating stuff, like, artistically, and that stuff now is like TV shows or, you know, businesses or, so, like, I don't know, I think secretly I'm a nerd. I'm like a super nerd.
I'm a super badass nerd.
Yeah.
Well, you're like a philanthropist, you are a creator. That's why, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on. I knew, like, somebody presented the idea of having you on, and I'm like, oh, if, you know, I had just finished watching Minoru Rinaldo's the biopic.
Bipolar Rock and Roller.
Outstanding. It was an outstanding documentary. And by the way, I know that you represent him, so I wanted to talk to you about having, you know, getting him on my show, because I met him at Sirius XM, and I've been trying to get him on the show, and I seem to just be hitting brick wall after brick wall, and I know that you represent him, right?
Totally. Yeah, he's coming to my place.
I would definitely love to have him on, because I thought that his documentary, and even talking to him for a couple minutes in the lobby of Sirius XM, I got to see just a fifth of what he actually went through with his bipolar disorder, and to see what he has triumphed over and everything. And you were in the documentary, and you showed how that if you build a great structure, then you can pretty much survive anything. And I think that's what you do in your businesses now, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. That's the funny thing about Morrow is we were closing our talent business when he came along, and he just needed all this help, you know, because he's kind of a special dude. So yeah, we just put some resources towards him, and, you know, he just blossomed so well. But yeah, for, you know, especially with mental health, it's about building, you know, support in the community and understanding what, you know, what the needs are and stuff. And that, same thing in business, same thing in negotiation. And he's just doing so well. And that film has been super powerful. We're just getting ready for a global release so that everybody in the world can see it, because we've just had thousands of responses and inquiries. And, you know, people were really touched both by the content and also by the application of the medications and just the awareness and, you know, physical exercise and the whole mindset towards, you know, caring for your mental health. That was hugely impactful to people.
Oh, no, and it definitely was to me as well, because when I watched the documentary, by the way, Bipolar Rock and Roller is named the documentary. You could probably still get it on Showtime On Demand right now, and it's going to be getting a global release. We just learned that from Frank Shamrock, who was on the phone here on the Ham Radio Show. But I, like, when I looked at it, I commiserated with Monaro, because I was a lot of the stuff. I don't say I don't think I'm bipolar, but I think that I have some of the condition that he has, because I saw a lot of me in him, and it was kind of cool to see somebody present that in a way that, you know, yes, he's combating it on a grander scheme. Do not get me wrong. It's on a different level. It's fucking huge what he has to go through. But when you watch it and you watch the documentary and you sit there and you go, I do that, and or I do that, or I do, you know, I definitely do this, or I definitely feel better when I do that. He takes you through that, and he shows that you can triumph over it, triumph over adversity. And I think that's the underlined, you know, point of the documentary. I think he's triumphing over adversity, and that to me makes it, it's something that you need to watch. I mean, I know now we're talking about him, and I just begged you to book him and everything, but
I could help with that.
Yeah, it's just, no, thank you, by the way, and I definitely will text you later and try to figure that out. But let's talk about you, because a lot of people, by the way, because you do a lot of stuff with the Army, which is a part of our connection. You help a lot of, you know, a lot of soldiers out, because I know our friend Rob, who was trying to put this through, said he wants me to make sure that you know that you have a lunch date set up with the veterans over at the West Los Angeles, California VA hospital.
Nice.
They want to meet up with you to talk shop and shake your hand and say thank you, and then you can say thank you to them, and they definitely want to meet up with you because you do a lot of stuff. You're very philanthropic, and you are very you're just trying to help people out. That's a big deal, Joe. It's a big deal. He's just trying, like, Frank Shamrock is, how would you classify, I know you just called yourself a nerd, and you called yourself this, that, and the third, but what do you actually do for a living? What, if you had to explain it to somebody, explain it to me, what do you do for a living?
Well, technically,
yes,
I create things and manage assets, but, you know, I've only really had one job, and I worked at Payless 25 years ago, and I learned 10 key, and I was there when the infrared scanners came along, and they were like, team, this is technology. That's the last job I've ever had, and since then I've been an athlete and all these different things. But now I know so much about business and finance and management of that, that a lot of what I just do is just take people's assets and help them manage them better, or I create products for people, or companies come to me and hire me to launch a product or re-enter a market or enter a market or sell a business. And for some reason, I'm that guy who advises and helps create those business structures. But what I did is at the end of my career, I could see it coming, and I was getting older, and my machine was falling apart, and I actually went to school, and I spent three and a half years learning about business management, asset management, and learning how to manage all this stuff that I had created, you know, on my journey.
I'm sorry, I was mesmerized by what you were saying. I'm like, because I can't put fucking, you know, pen to paper sometimes. and you're pretty much like a one-man conglomerate trying to make sure that people can actually be more financially stable or more and create their own little empires.
Absolutely.
That's a big fucking deal, Frank. That's not really a small thing. That's I honestly need that, but I don't think I'm famous enough to hire you. That's the problem. I got to become famous enough to get Frank Jamrock.
I have to have money.
I got
to
have money.
No.
Money helps, yeah.
Yes, it does.
All right, so I need
it doesn't
to,
hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
But, like, my thing with the Army, you know, that's all volunteer stuff. And really what I did for them and the reason why they called me is, you know, they're having trouble recruiting people. And the audience has changed. The desire has changed. So the – you know, that old Army pitch and that Army presentation, it's just not, they're not converting as good.
No.
So, you know, they brought me out to, you know, speak to the, you know, basically, you know, fifth of all the recruiters in the United States and to give them some new ideas and some new, you know, thoughts on how to reach, use the technology and keep that audience engaged, especially with the changes in, you know, just everything.
Now, are you one of the reasons why we see a lot of the Army commercials, like at sporting events, more now and more?
I am one of the reasons you'll see a lot more presence on social media, interactions on social media, personal interactions on social media from the recruiting stations, divisions, and all the way down to the individual recruiters. Because one of my things to them was like, you know, it's a different country now. You know, the idea of honor is completely different. You know, so you got to reach and tell that story differently to communicate with this generation. And that, a lot of that is personal. You know, I'm in your face. And if I'm not in your face, I'm in your face digitally, you know, repeatedly, you know, to build trust and interest. And
yeah.
So it's just a new world.
Well, it's definitely a new world and it's definitely a changed world because these kids have the attention span of a grape. And you want them to fight for your country. They have to be
right.
All in, or if they're not all in, they're not going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, they'd rather play video games about war than learn the necessary traits to protect and serve their community.
That's,
you know,
so
what I mean?
True, isn't it?
Yeah,
true.
And their country in general.
Well, and that's a good point, too, because a lot of what's happening is a lot of the recruits don't make it through the camps because
yeah.
they spend all their time playing video games. They don't have the physical structure they used to. So there's actually a, you know, try to get them in early and educate them on fitness, you know, direction, because we're losing that piece of society. The kids are less fit. They're less strong. You know, and they get hurt easier.
You could say it. They're fat fucks. I'm a fat fuck. And like, I have lost weight. I'm not going to lie. I have definitely lost weight. But what is like something? Give me, because I look at you and you're. I mean, how old are you now?
I'm 45.
You're 45. You look like you got a body like a 20-year-old. So what's a little secret? What's a secret besides kicking people's asses? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, besides being Batman without the costume, what exactly is like a secret that I can learn right now? Too, because I'm going to Vegas. In 3 days, so I got to lose the gut and get a six pack in 3 days. So, what would be a secret to like cutting weight? What would to you know get a little smaller within 3 days? What would I have to do? Not eat.
Well, there's little you can do in 3 days. But my secret is I just eat pretty good food most of the time. So that means not like fried stuff or not packaged things or not you know things in boxes. Just try to eat healthy food that's recently been killed or recently been plucked.
What's scary, it's probably killed by Frank. Mm-hmm. Frank, like, he just reaches into the lake, pulls out a salmon.
There you go.
And goes, this is what we're having. Mm-hmm. And then leaves. He catches it in his fucking teeth. I don't know. He's Frank Shamrock. He can do that. I can't do that.
No, not really.
So, all right. We gotta eat nothing packaged, nothing in boxes, nothing fried. A lot of fruits and vegetables, I'm guessing.
Well, there goes my diet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fucked because Joe doesn't eat. Joe is 70 something years old. He doesn't eat fruits or vegetables.
No, I don't. if it doesn't come in a can,
you don't eat it.
I don't eat it. No.
This is why you can't poop.
I have the tin. Is my thing. It has to be a tin.
It has to be in a tin.
Yeah, tin can.
What is
in a tin can. Oh, see, that's old school. You gotta keep it real now.
What are you in the '30s?
Well, no, that's what I like.
Did you just buy war bonds? What the fuck did you do?
Me and Chef Boyardee.
What do you mean only cans?
No, me and Chef Boyardee are good friends.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
My personal chef.
Dude, you're an Italian. That's fucked up on so many levels. Frank, personal question. I gotta ask this question because I've never actually done this. What's it like to knock a motherfucker out?
It's pretty cool.
Nice.
It's always like you don't expect it to happen, and then it just suddenly happens. So it's like kind of like it's like magic. So you're doing your thing, and then it's just like boom, and then in magic they just fall down.
I know.
So it's very empowering, and it's kind of magical.
Wait, what, Joe? Because you were talking over Frank Shamrock, who will crawl through the phone and knock you out.
No, I know what it feels to be knocked out.
Yeah, I have choked people out.
Yeah.
Like for a fat guy, I actually like I do have some basic training when it comes to MMA stuff. Like I can do a rear naked choke, Fujiwara armbar. I can do like ankle locks, heel hooks, all that kind of great stuff.
I thought you just sat on somebody.
But the only thing I've never done is actually punch somebody in the chin and knock them the fuck out. Like I've never done that. Ooh. I've punched people; they have fallen down and not gotten up, but they are wide awake. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want the punch.
What
I
was
want
that?
The, ow! What and then that? They fall down.
What was that? A mosquito?
Yeah, I don't want that. Like I kick harder than I punch, so I'd rather kick them in the chin.
Okay.
And learn how to do that.
You could get up that high.
Oh, dude! I'm for a fat guy. I can
you
move.
Kick somebody in the chin.
Come here. I'll kick you in the chin. I will sweet chin music your fucking face.
Okay.
That's what I'll do. But like you have a guy like Frank Shamrock.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever knock Ken out?
No.
You never punch Ken in the face? And so, like, if you ever punch Ken in the face, does he just look at you?
Yeah. No, he was, like, the toughest guy in the gym that's ever existed. He never moved, budged.
He's
a scary.
He never,
like, got broken.
Your brother is one of the scariest-looking men on the face. He's, like, I don't even know how old he is now because he's older than you, right?
Yeah, he's, like, 106.
Yeah, he's, like, 106.
Yeah.
Built like a brick shit house, has a
still.
Big fucking head. Like, Frank has a small head.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Shamrock's head is fucking monstrous. Mm. It's like a big box, all right? It's that food that that Frank doesn't eat. You know the box it comes in?
Sure.
That's Ken's head.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Ken's head is fucking... Because I saw him recently, he was doing... Because he went into pro wrestling. He worked for the WWE, Joe.
Oh, okay.
And he was doing... like shoot interviews or some shit like that. And I see him like on the interview and he's just sitting in a chair, arms crossed, muscles blaring. He's got a vein from his elbow to his wrist that literally is the size of me.
It's like neon, man.
Yeah. And he was just pumping throughout the whole interview.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I'm distracted by this giant vein that he fucking has.
Well, there you go.
And I'm like, I can only imagine, because I know that you two got angry at each other. It's a very famous story, and this, that, and the third.
Well,
so I just didn't know if you ever fucking hold off and punched Ken in the face and knocked him out. And now you're saying no, so I can only imagine, like, after you hit him in the face, that he just looks at you.
What was
That's got to be a scary fucking thing.
A piece of paper.
That's it. Yeah, he was never. That was the amazing thing about Ken is nobody ever like took him down.
No.
Beat him like in the gym. He was king. Yeah, he never lost.
Well, look at him and Severin. Him and Severin had literally put UFC on the map when it came to those super fights and everything else. And they literally were just Donnybrooks and standstills. They would just go back and forth with submission moves and grappling and friggin' chain wrestling and all kinds of great stuff. And you watch it and you're like, holy shit. And then when you see Frank Shamrock too, you would have the Shamrock brothers. And you're like, this whole family's just going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
And you watch like all the stuff that you had with him being the first light heavyweight and then the... welterweight there, or whatever it was. Was it welterweight or light heavyweight? I lost track already.
I was the light heavyweight, and then the middleweight.
Yeah.
They turned that into middleweight.
Into the middleweight, and yet, like, so yeah. The lineage of the Shamrock brothers,
mm-hmm.
are just a testament to all the stuff they did in the MMA world. And now this nerd, Frank Shamrock, self-confessed super nerd, who taught me how to lose weight in 3 days, is out there. It's such a departure from what I remember of Frank Shamrock and him beating the shit out of people, and now he's, making people... He was knocking the fuck out of people. Now he's making people better. So that by itself... And then he's also working with the Army and making sure that their PR process is taken off. So people
will...
I mean, he's doing everything.
That's absolutely
I don't think he's not... I don't think there's a thing you're not doing.
It feels like it.
I will definitely... definitely talk to you about having Ronaldo on the show. But I want to talk to you just right now. We're going to wrap it up here. What is something that you haven't done yet, since you've done a lot of shit? You've done a lot of stuff. What is something you haven't done that before you die it's on your bucket list and you need to do it?
I would like to go swim in the Great Barrier Reef. I think that's a must. I would like to. We built homes for family in poverty in Mexico last year, which was super powerful. And then we went this year too. So, but next year we're going to try to build like a school, go to like Thailand or something, build like a school. So that would be kind of cool. I have like a school named after us.
Is that like but Homes for like Humanity and stuff like that?
What, Joe?
Huh?
Well, Jimmy Carter works for Houses for Humanity, something like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, we do a group that does the same thing. And so we'd think we might go to Costa Rica next. That's kind of like another warm-up.
That's really nice.
Build.
I'm just writing this down because I need to get you, before you do all this shit, I got to get some money so I can hire Frank Shamrock. I just wanted to leave myself a note.
Yeah.
Here, get money.
Dear Ed, please make money.
Please, Ed, make money. Love, Ed. That would be nice. Frank Shamrock, where can they find you, Frank? Where can they find you, buddy?
I am at Frank Shamrock everywhere, frankshamrock.com, Instagram at Frank Shamrock, and on YouTube, The Frank Shamrock. But I'm definitely on social media.
There you go. You need to find him. You need to follow him. You need to be a part of his world, because all he's trying to do is make the world better.
Yeah.
He is a man that used to cripple people. Now he's making them freaking better. It is Frank Shamrock. Thank you for being on the show, man. I am honored to have you on. Thank you, buddy.
Very nice, Frank.
My pleasure, guys. God bless you.
God bless you too, buddy.
Take care.
Frank Shamrock was just on the show, Joe.
Nice fella, huh?
Holy crap. Very nice fella.
Nice fella.
Very nice fella. One of the greats in the world of MMA, just on our show.
Well, you know, a lot of them are they're doing everything, but they're stuck in the mud or something like that. You know, they'll dig up their ears. This guy's a nice guy.
No, he's the guy. He's the guy that you want in your car when you have that flat tire. He's the guy. Okay, that's the guy you want.
He's a nice guy.
Hey, John, what's going on? John saying hi in the Facebook Live suite. By the way, we're doing commercial free today.
Unbelievable.
Because, we did not have any commercials because Danny didn't come to the show today, and neither did Billy. So I was just stuck with Joe.
I'm like fucked up because, you know, I'm missing like, you know, all the stuff that we normally do.
Yeah, the little breaks in between. Yeah. We haven't done anything as of yet. We've talked about Trump.
I had to run out to pee.
You had to run out to pee. We talked about how humanity is fucked up.
It is.
We talked about...
a little bit of Omarosa.
We talked a little bit of Omarosa. We talked about how society
is... what about that judge who let those Muslims out on bail?
They're running a
camp to kill kids?
The guy was running a camp. For the people that don't know what the fuck Joe was talking about...
I don't know what
Because Joe
about.
Tells a half-assed story.
Well, I do.
You probably read it in the paper. A group like out in the desert. There was a missing child, first off. The guy's son was quote-unquote missing. I don't believe they even found the kid yet. I don't know what's going on there.
It was a dead kid, too.
But I don't know if they found the kid yet. I'm not too invested in the story. The only part that my point, which kind of goes into what we were talking about before, is when you have shit like that going on. By the way, this guy was training these kids
to shoot people.
Fuck shoot people, yo. He was training them to then go to schools later on in life and do school shootings. That's way more than just people. That's innocent kids that were going to get killed. There would have been a whole bunch of adults getting killed. And he was building like a death camp. He was building like a training place.
Fucked up, man.
So he's in jail right now.
Good.
The rest of them, because they really couldn't hold him, by our legal system, they couldn't hold him. But my point going back is when you have shit like that going on in the world and you guys are worried about if Trump said the N-word on a tape. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's really bad shit going on over here.
Yeah.
And you guys are worried about if Omarosa has a tape.
So she could sell her book.
So she could sell her book if Trump possibly said the N-word.
Maybe.
Which I'm going to say he probably did. But the fact of the matter is, I don't want to say so what and get people fucking angry, but he did it.
You know
now, what are you going to do to stop? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know what's funny
he
about
did
it?
He's an asshole.
You
know what I'm saying?
You know what's funny about it? They went there and they contacted Mike Burnett, the guy who did all the...
Mark Burnett.
Well, yeah, that guy. And he went through all...
Well, you're going to make a point. Try to learn the guy's name.
I know. He went through all the tapes and everything like that to try to find if he did. So in his mind, he probably said, you know, he probably did say it.
Yeah.
Well, I got to find that tape right away.
I'm not saying he didn't say it. I'm not saying that it doesn't make him a bad man for probably saying it. I don't know what the context was. I don't know what was being said. It's fucking possible. But my point is,
hold on, Joe. It's like the pussy thing, you know?
Well, that's my point. The point is, when I'm trying to... If you shut up for a second, eat your popcorn.
I can't.
My point is, there is so much more bad shit going on in the world...
Oh, yeah.
...that we should not just immerse ourselves in the reality TV show that is the White House with Omarosa, who wants to sell her book, and we're buying... You guys are buying into this.
Absolutely.
Literally, there is a story that made me almost throw up that's way worse than if the president said the N-word. Because that is a possible thing.
Maybe.
Okay, it's a maybe. We don't know if he fucking said it. Do you understand? Like, it could be.
The story of the week.
Yeah, we don't know if it happened. No one has heard the tape of him saying it. Am I correct to that effect?
Yeah.
No one has heard a tape that goes... Oh, shit, that's Trump saying the N-word. Right there. No one has heard that. But one thing that is insanely a real thing that happened was the Catholic Church.
Oh, those guys.
Our favorite hypocrites of the world.
Jesus.
The Catholic Church reportedly covered up 301 predator priests.
Wow.
Okay, so
thousands of kids.
Thousands of... And that's 1,000 something that we know of. Like, these are the ones that have... That they now have documentation on.
God.
Okay? A bombshell dropped Tuesday in Pennsylvania when the Attorney General there released the results of a probe of six Roman Catholic dioceses that over seven decades covered up sexual abuse of 301 predator priests.
Unbelievable.
Okay?
Unbelievable.
Now, can you imagine, by the way, the hypocrisy?
Ugh.
Of a group, this is a group that many people follow. Look, I'm agnostic. I was raised Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shit on the fact that you are a Catholic, if you are one. That's what you do, because religion is only there for you to feel nice.
Absolutely.
It's there for you to comfort you in your time of need.
It's a set of rules
that you follow that justifies your existence to yourself.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
All religion is
there. Okay, now. The Attorney General Josh Shapiro said Tuesday during a news conference, quote, the pattern was abuse, deny, and then cover up, end quote. He went on to add, quote, church officials routinely and purposefully described the abuse as horseplay and wrestling and inappropriate conduct. It was one of those things, it was child abuse. Including rape, end quote. Okay, now, the Catholic Church is the first group to tell you that gays shouldn't get married.
Yeah,
the Catholic Church is the first one to say that a baby shouldn't be aborted, even if the mother is raped. They're the first one to tell you how to live this quote-unquote perfect life. However, did those couple of thousand kids live a perfect life?
Well,
Did they get to have a natural, nice existence?
See, that's the problem. You know, not that the things that they preach are bad. It's the things that they do are bad.
No, no. Telling somebody, see, it is bad. When you're telling a group, like, because there are gay people who are Catholic.
Sure.
So if you're telling gay people that they're going to rot in hell for being gay.
Well, that's hypocritical.
That's my point.
Oh, yeah.
You're being a giant hypocrite.
Absolutely.
Because ain't nobody having more anal sex than the fucking Catholic Church.
They invented it.
Okay?
Jesus.
The point still is, thank you. The point still is that when you look at this, you get old people that come out of the woodwork and say, you know what they should do? My mother said this. I almost choked her. You know what they should do? Just let the priests marry.
Yeah.
That'll solve everything.
It'll help.
Last time I looked, heterosexuals in marriage, in married surroundings and in married situations, still could possibly be pedophiles.
Oh, sure.
It's not a gay thing. It's not a fucking straight thing.
Well,
it's a pedophilia thing.
It's a wicko.
Now, let's be fucking honest.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be pretty fucked in the head sometimes. Gina, by the way, said she has an idea. Let priests marry the children.
Ooh,
there you go.
Nambla. Was that Nambo?
Nambla.
Rambo.
Nambla.
Oh, it was Rambo.
Jesus Christ, get the name right.
Okay.
The fact is, when you look at it on paper, no matter which way you look at it,
mm-hmm.
it's pedophilia.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter what else is going on. These kids are being fucked. All right, there's kids being raped. There's kids they're getting their penises and girls are getting their vaginas touched.
Yeah.
They're children. Okay? There is more policies put in place that when a school teacher has a sexual misconduct with a child, like, and they're fucking.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Now, normally, it's actually two consenting, one's a semi-adult, and the other one's a fucking adult,
yeah.
Okay? And they're actually fucking. Hmm. And more is done to that school teacher than is done to these predator priests.
Well, yeah.
Think about it. 301 predator priests that were kind of helped out. Nothing happened to them.
They have a whole system to
cover
it up.
Nothing happened to them. They were like, oh, you fucked Billy? Okay. You go to this magic convent somewhere.
Yeah.
Then we never hear from you ever again. But meanwhile, you're still a part of the clergy.
They sent them to Thailand.
Yeah. You mean that? And that's the crazy part. And Gina, by the way, said hey, that's lots of priests. It is. It's a rare occurrence when you come across a priest. I've had four priests in my life that I remember. You know why I remember them? It's because they were not weird. Hmm. You know what I mean? It takes a weird person.
Well, yeah.
No offense. I don't give a shit. Because I know I'll get a letter from somebody. It takes a weird person to think it's a great idea to abstain from sex, to enter into a marriage, that is with the Lord, and you pretty much devote their life to a mythical figure.
Well,
now, that, by the way, yet again, I'm not shitting on you if you're Catholic. What I'm saying is that it takes a lot and a lot of somewhat mental stability and instability, quite frankly, to think that that is a great idea, Joe.
Yeah.
To go along with that plan, you would say, it's a little weird.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a little weird.
It's a tough life.
Yeah.
But have you noticed lately that most of the priests are not American anymore? That they come from other countries, third world countries, where they don't shine on that. Those priests are not pedophiles, most of them. They're third world countries.
Nine times out of ten. I know what you're getting at, but you're not describing it well.
Oh, well, that's why I'm giving it to you.
Well, thank you. What you're saying is when they come from another country, first off, they have different values, different right. ways of doing things.
Exactly.
Still the Roman Catholic Church, but it's still it's done differently.
Yeah, I think that what they have to do is basically get rid of all these crazy American priests who are not celibate.
My mom is not right, Gina. If the priests were allowed to marry, that wouldn't stop pedophilia. They would be some priests that were, you know, priests should be allowed to have sex.
Well.
Yeah. And they should get married. I don't give a shit if a priest does get married.
Yeah.
But the point of saying that that's going to stop pedophilia.
I'm a Protestant.
You know what I mean? It's not going to stop. If a guy wants a baby cock in his mouth, he's going to go after the baby cock. He's going to want to finger an older boy in the asshole. Yeah. He's going to want to do whatever he or she wants. And I'm looking at it from a perspective that they're only attacking older boys. There were girls on that list that were in schools, like CCD programs that were being touched mm-hmm. by these asshole predator priests. Gina, by the way, said at least let them try marrying and see what happens. Look, yeah. let them get alternate blowjob Thursdays. I don't give a shit.
Fuck the marriage. Just let them have sex.
Let them not be. Let it be the business. By the way, that's another thing we need to address. Mm-hmm. The Catholic Church is a business.
Sure is.
It's a business like any other fucking business.
Very wealthy business. Run very well.
Well, it's a business because they're tax-free. They don't have to pay taxes.
Well,
so not only on top of them being okay with pedophilia and child molestation,
mm-hmm.
they don't pay taxes. So the money on the back end is huge.
They're worldwide.
Yeah. I mean, it astounds me that if it was any other denomination that was doing this, it would be nipped in the fucking bud. Like when you're talking about the Catholic Church,
it goes on in other denominations.
It goes on in other things, but it's not as rampant as it is here.
I think they're after the Catholics right now, but you know, rabbis do it all.
I don't think they're after the Catholics. I think the Catholics have been doing really bad shit. Yeah. And finally, they're getting their comeuppance.
Exactly.
I don't think that they're after the Catholics.
But I don't think it's just the Catholics that are doing it. I mean, you hear these stories about these rabbis all the time, and you know, the same kind of situation. And you're right, it has nothing to do with the religion. It has to do with the crazy person. You know?
Debbie in the Facebook Live suite said, she wrote, Zion Lutheran, daughter of a captain in the police department. Lucky he's still alive. I don't know. That wasn't a full sentence.
What does that mean?
So help me out. Did someone that was in Zion Lutheran touch a girl whose father is a captain in the police department? Or mother was a captain? I don't know. So help me out with that one. Gina writes, legal fees are rising. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you notice, there was a movie a while back.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was called Spotlight. It was a movie that went on. Debbie's, by the way, saying it was a priest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a movie called Spotlight, and that movie was about an investigation, I believe, in the Boston area.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong on the location. I just know that it was about, they were going after Catholic priests. It was much like this story with the predator priests that were out there. And they were doing it for eons. Eons!
Really?
These guys were getting touched and hurt. There was also a documentary about I don't know where. It was on HBO. Mm-hmm. But it was a these deaf kids. It was a school for the deaf. Run by Catholic, and the priests were fucking them because they couldn't scream.
God.
You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, even if we let them marry, okay, that's not gonna stop pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
Pedophilia is different than gays, different than straight people. It's something that you could be anything. You just want and look at children and think that they are in some way sexual. That is what pedophilia is.
Yeah, there's a screw loose somewhere.
Yeah. So even if we let them marry, and even if we let them do this, that, and the third, it really doesn't matter.
They still want the other thing.
They still want little Jimmy,
yeah.
Who's you know, going to get the body of Christ
wow.
and bringing it down to the altar.
I want to see my body, Jimmy.
Yeah. Want to go to the rectory? Hey, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that and that is the craziest, disturbing part. this dam is already broken. We are flooded with pedophilia. Yeah. Now, where the fuck and how the fuck do you fix this?
All sorts of sexual perversions. That's just pedophilia. There's a lot of sexual perversion out there. I mean, you even take it to the extent of the Harvey Weinstein type of perversion, where they have to intimidate women to get sex.
Exactly.
It's a perversion. There's a lot of different kinds of sexual perversion.
Like, I understand, don't get me wrong, I understand that we're all about the hashtag Me Too movement, and we're at hashtag Time's Up.
Okay.
But where are the fuckers for these kids? Where's the hashtag for these kids?
Well, yeah.
Where's the hashtag that just is don't fuck kids? Hashtag don't fuck kids. How about that? Don't fuck kids. You know what? I'm going to write that right now in the fucking chat room.
They're called the DFK.
Hashtag don't fuck kids.
DFK movement.
There you go. Hashtag don't fuck kids. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't give a shit about that because that's not the cool thing.
Maybe we can get Rosie O'Donnell to
That's not on the award shows, but we'd rather worry about Omarosa.
Yeah.
And we'd rather worry about magic tapes that he might have said the N-word.
He said it. I know he did.
And we got to worry about what Roseanne did in a tweet.
Oh, my God.
And we got to worry about James Gunn. And his shit.
He called her a dog.
And we got to worry about who's offended by what. When there are children now in this world, right this second.
There's some serious shit going on, folks.
Being molested by predator priests. That I don't know how long this investigation was going on. How long was this investigation going on?
Half an hour.
No, wait, how long was this investigation going on? Let's hold on, I got to break up the story again. 7 decades.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
70 years.
Oh, yeah. Some of the victims are, like, dead.
Yeah. 70 years, people. 70 years.
It's really been going on more than that.
Yeah, I know. But no. We're talking about just this investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to wrap your fucking heads around that shit.
Mm-hmm.
70 years where no one did anything. No one did anything. It is 2018, and we're taking our hands out of our asses to go, oh, this is bad. No shit.
I think they shouldn't do that.
Hashtag don't fuck kids, Joe.
I think so.
Hashtag don't fuck kids.
DFK.
DFK. Debbie in the Facebook Live suite. The Latter-day Saints in Utah just say it's part of the religion so they can have multiple brides. Yeah. But the thing, but the sister wives, as they refer to them, that, yet again, though, look, you're talking to a guy who doesn't like religion in general.
Yeah.
I let you have your religion. Have your religion. I don't like religion, because religion, to me, besides like what I said, why it exists, it exists to make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
Okay? But if you look at the scope of what a religion is, number one, they're all the same. There's a centralized figure that we all pray to, we all talk our, we confess our sins, we do this, that, and the third.
And they promise us an
afterlife. And they promise us the moon, sun, and the stars.
The afterlife, that's the big one.
And you ain't giving a shit. Okay? That's number one. Now, to bring up the Latter-day Saints, you're talking about, we've played it on this show, there's a video on YouTube somewhere where we talked about the Mormons.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's a cartoon.
The space people.
Yeah. They believe in a space Jesus. Okay? Hashtag don't fuck kids.
Ooh.
Okay?
DFK.
Don't fuck kids. This is Joe. Gina wants to see Joe. Joe, lean forward on camera, please. Forward, forward, forward. There's Joe. There you go. Gina, the incredibly hot Gina with the big boobs.
Yeah, she's going to send me some naked pictures.
She's not going to send you naked pictures. I've been trying to get Gina to send me naked pictures.
Maybe one or two.
And now, since I am the ambassador of hashtag don't fuck kids.
Yes, you are.
You would think I should be rewarded
mm-hmm.
with naked pictures of Gina, and I'm not going to be. I'm just saying. By the way, Debbie says hi, sexy, so I think Debbie was hitting on you, too.
I like her.
And Joe, and she says, hi, Joe. Gina says, hi, Joe. So,
hi, guys.
The Joe fan club in full effect today.
I have fans.
I don't know. To me, I think it's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. When you have, no matter what the fucking religion is. The Mormons have space Jesus. They believe that their god came from a planet called Kola.
Kola.
And I believe... wait, hold the fuck on.
Coca-Cola.
Fuck, I'm trying to remember. You know what? Because I can't remember it. Mm-hmm. We're going to fucking find it. Story of the Mormons. Band, yeah, here we go. Elohim, I remember that. All right, so this is the beliefs of Mormonism, just to show you how weird and crazy religion can get. Here's the beliefs of Mormonism.
...of its Christian veneer. The basic tenets of Mormonism are in direct conflict with biblical Christianity. The following piece of animation, based directly on actual Mormon publications, highlights these major doctrinal differences.
Mormonism teaches that trillions of planets scattered throughout the cosmos are ruled by countless gods who once were human like us.
Okay, by the way, just so you also know, this is, without question, almost crazy that it's like Scientology.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you understand. And people look at Scientologists and they say, those fuckers are crazy. This is Mormonism. This is going on as we speak. Okay, just so you understand. Yes, Gina, animation. Google, actually, no, go to YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube.
And go type in Story of the Mormons and look up the band cartoon, and you'll definitely check it out. Yeah, Joseph Smith and all his magic wonder.
Yeah.
They say that long ago on one of these planets, to an unidentified god and one of his goddess wives, a spirit child named Elohim was conceived. This spirit child was later born to human parents who gave him a physical body.
Maybe it was Corral.
Through obedience to Mormon teaching and death and resurrection, he proved himself worthy and was elevated to godhood as his father before him. Mormons believe that Elohim is their heavenly father and that he lives with his many goddess wives on a planet near a mysterious star called Kola.
Okay, that's why they have a lot of the wives.
Mm.
Just so you understand, their god, Elohim...
Who thought this up?
...has... Well, supposedly Joseph Smith found these... found the scripture in the woods. You'll learn that later on in their story,
okay.
Well, he found the scripture. By the way, we're eating popcorn and watching it. It's like movie time for us.
Yeah, I know. It's like
we're watching the cartoon right here, and it's insanity, and this is what goes on. Gina's like, she's floored because this is actually what is going on.
Mm.
All right? A Mormon saved my life one time. Mormons could be great people. I'm just saying their religion is fucking nutty, Rob. And here's case in point.
Here, the god of Mormonism and his wives, through endless celestial sex, produced billions of spirit children.
They be fucking...
To decide their destiny, the head of the Mormon gods called a great heavenly council meeting.
Well, look at us Catholics. We
both of Elohim's...
Joe, the thing is playing. We can't hear you and the fucking thing. I'm watching a cartoon. Shut up.
His oldest sons were there. Lucifer and his brother Jesus. A plan was presented...
Oh, by the way, Jesus in this scenario is a white guy... who, by the way, comes down to the Americas.
Whoa.
More about that in a minute.
To build planet Earth, where the spirit children would be sent to take on mortal bodies and learn good from evil. Lucifer stood and made his bid for becoming savior of this new world. Wanting the glory for himself, he planned to force everyone to become gods. Opposing the idea... The Mormon Jesus suggested giving man his...
Who looks, by the way, remarkably like Willie Nelson.
...freedom of choice, as on other planets. The vote that followed approved the proposal of the Mormon Jesus, who would become savior of the planet Earth. Enraged, Lucifer cunningly convinced one-third of the spirits destined for Earth to fight with him in revolt. Thus, Lucifer became the devil... and his followers the demons. Sent to this world, they would forever be denied bodies of flesh and bone. Those who remained neutral in the battle were cursed to be born with black skin.
Yeah, so by the way, that's their answer for black people.
I had never heard of that.
Black people in their religion until 1979, because I believe it changed in 1979, or I could be even wrong, it could have changed later on.
They were neutral.
No, they weren't neutral. That's black people were what they called cursed. So if you were a Mormon until a certain time, you thought that black people were fucking demons.
Wow.
Just so you understand, in their religion, black people were demons.
This is the Mormon explanation for the Negro race. The spirits that fought most valiantly against Lucifer would be born into Mormon families on planet Earth. These would be the lighter-skinned people, or white and delightsome.
So the white people are awesome.
We're
black
good.
People, demons.
They're the good ones.
Just so you understand how this game is fucking played.
Maybe as the Book of Mormon,
the black hat started, you know?
It's quite possible.
Yeah. Describes them. Early Mormon prophets taught that Elohim and one of his goddess wives came to Earth as Adam and Eve to start the human race. Thousands of years later, Elohim, in human form once again, journeyed to Earth from the starbase Kolob, this time to have sex with the Virgin Mary, in order to provide Jesus with a physical body.
So Elohim, because I got to wrap this up. So Elohim goes down, he fucks Mary. That's how we get Jesus on Earth. Just so you understand that. Just so you get it, that's how we get Jesus on Earth.
Was she artificially
After Jesus Christ grew to manhood, he took at least three wives, Mary, Martha, and Mary Magdalene. Through these...
Who the fuck is Martha?
...wives, the Mormon Jesus, for whom Joseph Smith claimed direct descent, supposedly fathered a number of children before he was crucified. According to the Book of Mormon, after his resurrection, Jesus came to the Americas to preach to the Indians, who the Mormons believe are really Israelites.
Okay, so, because we got to end this. Just so you understand, in their faith, black people, demons, the Native Americans were Jews. They were Israelites.
Okay.
And for some odd reason, Jesus gets killed on the cross,
mm-hmm.
and instead of showing up 3 days later in, you know, the whole story that we have, all right, well, I'm not even fucking Catholic. The story that you guys have, where he imagine, you know, Easter, where he shows back up and he's a ghost and boo, all that kind of crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
This Jesus shows up in America and Salt Lake City, Utah.
I thought they didn't discover America.
No, Jesus showed up, according to the religion.
I mean, it was 1492.
No, that was Columbus.
Yeah.
But Jesus got there first. He was an explorer. He got there first.
Okay.
But just to show you how fucked up that is, I'm just throwing it out there, how fucked up it is. Okay? So religion, when you look at it and you actually do some research on it,
mm-hmm.
is nutty. All right? It's nuttier than squirrel shit, folks. So if you think that when you have, you know, people fucking kids... And that's only one aspect. There are way other shit going on that's crazy, too. By the way, there is no show next week. I just want to throw that out there right now.
Yes,
because I am 3 days and 21 hours away from being inside of Las Vegas, Nevada. Going to the EDCon. EDCon convention.
Going to fly on the Big Bird.
Yes, I am, sir. It's going to be outstanding. So, therefore, no show next week. There is a show the week after that, obviously, we will be back. I am doing 19th through the 22nd. It's going to be a big show. It's going to be nice.
That's right.
We're going to do that. It's crazy. It's going to be good.
If you want to listen.
Yeah, it's going to be a best of. It's going to be on the hamradioshow.com Wednesday, so you can hang out. You can watch that. By the way, for more information, go to theedpub.com. That's theedpub.com. Brought to you by Religion Tequila, our vision, our devotion, our religion, 100% organic, handcrafted tequila, the official sponsor of the 2018 convention.
And you're going to be drinking that all weekend.
I will be drinking that all fucking weekend.
You better steal me a bottle.
Woo! I'm going to get them to send you bottles, Joe.
Suck me a bottle down.
I'm going to get it, though, dude.
I want two bottles. I want one of the white and one of the red.
You want one of the bottles of the white and you want one of the bottles of the red. There's three different types.
Oh, so. I want three bottles, then.
All right, so we'll make it happen for you, Joe. Let me just make sure I can get the right one over here. Because, by the way, we have the... There it is. We're going to do that one.
I'm putting a bar in the back. I need liquor.
I need liquor. Mm. Remember, liquor is quicker.
Yes, sir.
I guess we're done, Joe.
I know. This hours just flew by. You know, I miss Billy and Danny. Well...
No. Not so much.
You know.
We did a good job. We had Frank Shamrock on.
Yeah, Frank was a good guest.
We did 2 hours commercial free.
No commercials.
I got to flirt with Gina.
I like her.
Oh, God, she's got big breasts. Yeah. Rob, I'm going to see you in Vegas.
Yeah, fuck
Rob, thank you for the hookup with Frank Shamrock. It was a great day.
Ooh.
It's a great day had by all.
It was.
It was a great day had by all. Are you ready to go?
Yeah. I'm ready.
I think we should get the hell out of here.
Okay.
Remember, free speech is never silent, so always speak the fuck up. And remember, if you're going to fuck that chicken...
Well, what are you going to do?
You might as well get drunk on religion tequila, bend that chicken over, and say, hey, Debbie, you want to watch? Because I'm going to fuck this chicken. Until then, I say this, my friends. It's AMF. And do you know what that stands for, Joe?
I have no idea.
It stands for adios, motherfucker! See you in 2 weeks. Sit back, relax, put your tray tables in the upright position. This is the Ham Radio Show. We'll see you in 2 weeks, baby. Let's go!
Ham Radio is a production of the Unfiltered Radio Network and broadcast live from the Bunker Studios in New York every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on planetplatypus.com. Download the latest episode of the Ham Radio Show at hamradioshow.com. All material is copyrighted of the Ham Radio Show. Some material may be copyrighted by its respective owners. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission of the Ham Radio Show's material is strictly prohibited by Ham Radio and or its affiliates.
So, asshole, that means you can't use this without our permission. Fuck you.